Blog Talk Radio.
The Initiative Radio Network proudly presents the Antkinair Experience, hosted by Brother Anthony.
at hand, people. Creatures crawl in search of blood to terrorize your neighborhood. And whosoever shall be found without the soul for getting down must stand and face the hounds of hell and rot inside a corpse's shell.
I am your host, Aunt Canary. That same frog in my throat, but I'll be all right. It is Halloween. We are celebrating this pagan holiday. I guess some of us are. I'm not. I'm working. I'm doing my show. So I'm not giving away nothing. Not trying to be mean or anything, but tomorrow, if you want a whole bunch of candy, you can get it at 75% off at all your leading retail establishments. So that's the way this works. Tonight's topic, we will be talking about Halloween, but we're also going to be talking about black horror movies. And a lot of these, there's bunches of them, but I'm just going to, in a few minutes, I'm just going to give you the some of the main ones. Talk about those. Talk about where the custom of Halloween came from. Also going to play. Usually I play about 4 or 5 clips. Tonight I'm going to play about 7. I've got some trailers, black movie trailers that I'm going to play. Then also I've got a couple of comedians talking about black people in horror flicks. They're pretty funny. So tonight we're going to have something to, I guess some people call it a holiday. I don't. But it's, it's the first of the big three at toward the end of the year. Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. I guess you could say New Year's also, but that's end of next year. We could say New Year's Eve. So tonight we're going to, have a little bit of fun. I forgot to do something. Excuse me. If you want to, if you want to join in, telephone number is 563-999-3682. 563-999-3682. And I just remembered, I forgot to open the chat, so let me do that right quick. And if you're not able to call, you want to leave a question or a comment, you can do that. Excuse me for this call. I thought that was crap. The room is now open. I'm going to join in there. If not, you want to call 563-999-3682. And I guess if you want to call, you can talk about some of your, if you're into Halloween, like I'm not, used to, but not anymore. Talk about some of the things you used to do, things you still do, movies you watch, all that type of stuff. I would say if you're gonna go trick or treating, try to hit the rich parts of town. They give out the good stuff. Took my son 1 year. We hit a couple of the uppity cul-de-sacs.
we got so much damn candy. We eat candy until springtime. Not so much. What's amazing to me is that you have some neighborhoods where they won't come to the door, but they'll just leave fucking candy out there by the porch, you know, so you can go help yourself. Unfortunately, that would not work in the hood because someone would come and instead of taking four and five of them, they would take the whole bucket, probably. But, you know, it is what it is. So we're going to talk about these topics and also the weekly Trump diss. In case you've been sleeping in a cave, you probably know that Friday it was announced that someone was going to be indicted. And it happened yesterday. Got three people that used to work with Trump, or two actually. One guy worked with one of the big guys, used to be the campaign director. So they got three guys. Last time I heard, some of the charges that they got, they could possibility 20 years, and I heard 80 years. So these guys have broke some serious laws. They're in some serious trouble. But it just goes back to take some data. But it goes back to what I have been saying for the longest. You cannot run the government as a business. Now, a lot of the stuff these clowns are getting in trouble for, they do the same stuff in business. Some get in trouble, some don't. Offshore accounts. You know, they don't want to pay taxes. And what's amazing to me, in the hypocrisy I see in all this, Trump is sitting here howling about tax cuts, which tax cuts for him and his buddies, not so much for the rest of us. But he's talking about tax cuts, but at the same time, these offshore accounts, you know, they're just putting money right into these offshore accounts and not paying taxes on them, which is crazy to me. Those faces, and tell them about tax cuts. We've already been on that road of voodoo economics. The piss down theory, it doesn't work. You know, when poor people or middle class people get money, we tend to spend it. It stimulates the economy, and you know, we use money to pay for things. When rich people get money, they don't spend it; they put it in the bank because a lot of them are greedy, and they're not going to make jobs. You know, they keep saying the same stuff over and over again. These clowns had it their way. They're not making jobs. Why these? You know, the more money they get, the better off they are. You know, to hell with the rest of us. So I'm gonna play that clip in just a second. But I am glad that now finally all this stuff is starting to come to a head. And it needs to. I've said it from the beginning. Trump is a crook. He's a con man. He's down with the alt-right. Piece of shit, in my opinion. And like Brother Malcolm said, the chickens are coming home to roost. So we're going to see how this plays out. So, we're going to play commercial, come back, play the Trump diss, and then we're going to talk about black horror movies along with holiday. Thanksgiving, not Thanksgiving, God almighty. Halloween. Losing my mind. Anyway, play the commercial, be right back.
February of 1926, historian Carter G. Woodson launched Negro History Week, which later became Black History Month. On the Ant Canary Experience, we celebrate Black History 12 months a year. Hi, I'm Ant Canary, host of the Ant Canary Experience, the show for all things about our history, not his story. On the Experience, we also talk about current events that affect the Black community in the country. So join me every Tuesday night from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. to get your weekly Black History lesson. You can listen live or call me at 563-999-3682. I talk about topics that schools are afraid to tell our children about. That's every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Please check out the Ant Canary Experience.
Okay, so let's get into the Trump diss in just a second. But like I said, you cannot run the government like a business. It never works. And Trump is finding out about this the hard way. But he bought it on himself, so that's on him. So we're going to see how this turns out, how this goes. You know, the thing is, pretty banged up, is that people are talking about this during the election. Nobody listened. They elected him anyway. And he made the comment that, you know, nobody wants to elect the president under investigation. Well, we have one right now. I've said this before. If you want a good laugh, follow that clown on Twitter, because he comes up with some of the dumbest shit you ever heard of. You know, early morning tweets about nonsense. it's pathetic. But, you know, he is who he is. But, you know, it's just sad. So, we're going to play this clip. And then we're going to be right back, and then we're going to go and talk about the subject tonight, Black horror movies and Halloween.
Late Friday evening, it was announced that indictments had been sealed and delivered in the Bob Mueller special prosecutor probe into potential collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. And so the nation waited anxiously over Saturday and Sunday, and then today we finally found out who the lucky individual was to win the first indictment from Bob Mueller. And that person just happened to be Paul Manafort, Donald Trump's former campaign manager. Along with Manafort, Rick Gates, who served basically as Manafort's right-hand man during the campaign, was also served an indictment, and the two men turned themselves in to the FBI. So, at this point, here is what happens. The special prosecutor, the people investigating this, obviously they do have enough evidence to bring the charges against Manafort and Gates. That does not indicate that these men are in fact guilty. It just means there's enough evidence to go ahead and charge with a crime. Some of those crimes include money laundering, tax evasion, and conspiracy against the United States. That's the big one, because that's tantamount to treason at this point. But what they're hoping to do by going after Manafort and going after Gates is to get them to talk, to reveal further information that is going to lead to even more indictments down the road. Manafort has done some really shady things in the past. He has been involved in the Ukraine. He has very strong ties to the Russian government, dealing with them, accepting money from them and the Ukraine and other Putin allies. So that's obviously one of the paths with which this investigation moved forward. So more things are going to develop over time. We're going to find out a little bit more here and there. Once the full indictments are released, we're going to be able to read through those and find out exactly what is going on, what the evidence is, and what the likelihood of a conviction will be at this point. But again, these indictments are mostly to get these two men to squeal in order to get more information about more co-conspirators, because you got to have more than two people to have a conspiracy against the United States, even though both men have been charged with this. And it is worth noting that Donald Trump himself could be listed as an unindicted co-conspirator, though that remains to be seen. Again, we're hoping these two men start singing. We're hoping they turn over everything they've got, reveal everything they know, and then indictments keep coming. Because personally, I would love to see Jared Kushner go down in all of this. I think he is the kind of guy who not only knows everything that went on, but also the kind of human being that if you apply even the slightest pressure to him, he's going to start squealing and revealing every single thing that he knows. So hopefully Manafort and Gates are going to give Mueller enough evidence to go ahead and charge Kushner with a crime as well. Again, this story is still developing. Hopefully we're going to know some more things as the day drags on, as the week goes on. But at least right now, this big alleged nothing burger from the Trump administration has turned into two men being forced to turn themselves in to the FBI. Thanks for watching. And if you...
Okay. Actually, there was three. Another guy, Papadopoulos, Papa, whatever the last name is, he pled guilty. But the thing about him was, he pled guilty a couple of months ago. So some people seem to think that because he pled guilty a couple of months ago, that he was wearing a wire when talking to these Trump associates and all that kind of stuff. So we don't, I haven't heard anything about that otherwise. But if it's true, hopefully the whole, you know, most of the administration goes down. Would be nice. Because they need to go down. This guy's crooked. And the thing that kills me is the people that support this clown. You know, he's getting help from another country in order to win, and people just like, no big deal. You know, I was thinking Russia was our enemy, but how are you going to sit up here and agree with this and just, you know, pretend that it didn't happen? I don't know. People, you know, they believe what they want to believe. They support who they want to support just for the fact of not even thinking whenever they're doing it. So anyway, so that's that. This week's Trump dish. Now, next clip I'm going to play, I'm going to give you the background on Halloween. Then after that, we're going to talk about some black horror movies and listen to some more clips. And I guess just have fun with it tonight, since it's not a holiday, but you know. A lot of people may not be listening tonight because they may be out with the kids begging for candy, which is all good. But if you do that, save me some or not. Okay. So play this clip. Be right back.
Then you can monster mash into my graveyard smash.
Just like the mask children wear every October 31st, Halloween itself has worn many different faces in its enchanting 3,000-year history. The Halloween we know today all started here, amid the rocky green hills and magical landscapes of Ireland. Centuries before Christ, a tribe of warriors called the Celts lived throughout the British Isles and northern France. A On the rugged shores of the Irish Sea, the Celts formed an agricultural community. And like any people who lived off the earth, nature could be friend or foe. They were at the mercy of the elements, and winter was the scariest time of all.
For the early Celts, once your harvest was in, that was all you'd got. There was no way of getting more. And as the dark days came in, you would look to the winter with a certain amount of trepidation. And it became a time when perhaps your own mortality and the mortality of your community became relevant.
As winter approached, the Celts asked their priests, known as Druids, to pray for them. And the most important night of prayers occurred late in their fall, the last day of the harvest and the first day of the dark of winter. On that night, the Celts believed that the boundary between the world of the living and the spirit world was unusually thin, so thin that the souls of the dead could roam freely back and forth. That night was enormously important to the Celts. They called it Samhain, Gaelic for November.
Samhain represented the transition from the summer to the winter. And these transitional times, the times between the light and the dark, dusk and dawn, were very magical times to the Celts. Weird things could happen at these times that don't happen at other times.
On Samhain night only, the Celts believed those who had died in the past year walked the earth once more. But not every visiting ghost was friendly, so the Celts devised ways to appease these spirits.
It comes from this very archaic sense that the dead return. You have to placate them, you have to do something with them, or they might return and stay, they might trouble you and, you know, haunt you in various ways.
To appease these spirits, the Celts would parade out to the edge of their villages with offerings, trying to coax the evil forces away from their homes. They would leave food and sweets outside as gifts for the dead, a tradition that would eventually become trick-or-treating.
The dead come back to life at Halloween, and that's why there's a great fear of the dead around Halloween. And many of the devices and practices and customs of Halloween in Europe were attempts to keep the dead in their graves.
The Celts believed that the gods controlled the sun, and the shortening days were a sign of their awesome power. So they built bonfires to honor those gods and to pray for the return of the sun. To thank the earth for giving up her bounty at harvest time, the Celts offered the gods blood sacrifices. Cows, horses, and other animals were thrown onto huge bonfires.
The purpose of sacrifice is that something has to be offered back. If the earth had given up her riches in every way, then the early Celts would have considered it only polite to offer back some of their own life essence to the earth.
This life essence offered clues to the future. Druids would read the burnt entrails of the animals like tea leaves, divining who would die and who would prosper in the coming year. Samhain night, when the curtain into the netherworld was parted, was considered the best night of all for predicting the future.
They had to know, was it a good time to move? Who was going to be alive? Who was going to die? Were the leaders going to be healthy for another year? So they looked into the future on that night, because that was the night with the changing seasons that the spirits came alive and might have answers.
The prophecies that the Druids read would spread through villages, becoming stories told long into the night. This is thought to be one of the origins of telling ghost stories on Halloween. These ancient Celtic traditions live on among the new pagans of Ireland.
As without the sun, the earth is barren. As without the earth, the sun has no purpose.
These pagans worship nature, using age-old rituals to keep the Celtic Samhain ways alive.
At the Samhain time we stand, in the gateway to the other world. We're not so different from the Celtic peoples 2,000 years ago. We still look over our shoulder before we walk into a dark room. We still look over our shoulder if we hear footsteps behind us. We still fear the unknown.
And to her we shall return like a drop of rain.
On Halloween, Chris Thompson's fellow pagans summon ancient deities to their Samhain celebration, a night for invoking the spirits of the dead and thanking the earth spirits for life.
Our Celtic fire wheel will be lit by a green man figure who represents the green fire in the darkness.
In this time between time, in this place between places, in this world between worlds, let us celebrate the dance of life in the darkness.
What we want us to experience is the feeling that we are both in all time and no time, a sense of gateway.
The green flame of light dancing in the darkness.
The Irish call the mysterious stone piles dotting their countryside fairy mounds. Celtic tales tell us that on Samhain night, it is the fairies in these mounds who roam the earth, just as trick-or-treaters today roam the streets dressed as fairies and otherworldly spirits.
The belief in death, the belief in the wandering spirits, the idea of dressing up in costumes and being allowed to perform mischief and pranks, much as supernatural creatures would, much of our contemporary Halloween traditions seem to be reflected in this ancient Celtic holiday called Samhain.
The ancient Celts who walked these hills and their beliefs about spirits of the dead and nature's mystical powers gave us the ingredients of the Halloween we know today. On the other side of Europe, at around the same time, ancient Romans were celebrating a night of mystical revelry that also played a big role in shaping modern Halloween. The night was called Pomona. The Romans worshipped Pomona, the goddess of gardens and fruits, in a festival that took place around November 1st. To thank Pomona for a bountiful harvest, Romans laid out apples and nuts in tribute. Apple bobbing on Halloween today, in fact, comes from this Pomona tradition. In 50 BC, the Romans conquered much of northern Europe, spreading Pomona to the land of Samhain. These two traditions began to merge, the traditions of honoring the dead and the harvest. But just as the trend shaping early Halloween began to form, a new force, bitterly opposed to all things pagan, was taking root all across Europe, Christianity. Samhain would soon find itself in the center of a raging moral battleground, pagan versus Christian. At the dawn of the first millennium, the world was dominated by people whom we now call pagans, people who, like the Celts, worshipped natural spirits and were not part of any formal religion. But the pagan world would soon collide head-on with a powerful movement on the rise across the world, one that would try to conquer everything non-Christian in its path.
In the first century, there is this Christian conviction that all the spirits that other people worship as the gods of the waterfall and the stars and the air, all the other forces, which we would call natural forces, forces of the universe, are actually demonic beings, actually hostile, evil, belonging to the world, which is opposed to God.
Early Christians attacked the pagan world all around them.
The missionaries recognized that the Celtic people had true supernatural experience, but they felt that if these people thought there was a pantheon of gods and goddesses, that must be the work of the devil who deceived them.
In the early 4th century, the pagan emperor of Rome, Constantine, had a vision of Christ while he was on a battlefield. He converted to Christianity, paving the way for its rise everywhere. In 325, Constantine summoned the Council of Nicaea, which laid out Christian doctrine and inspired missionaries to go out and save thousands of pagan souls across Europe. but missionaries soon found that steering the public away from paganism would not be easy.
These cultural traditions are so deep and the images are so deep that you can't just wipe them out. So what you do is baptize them and try to turn them, sort of give them a Christian twist and interpretation and sanctify them in some way.
The first concrete plan was laid in around the year 600 by Pope Gregory I. Pope Gregory recognized that Christianity was still a young movement, struggling to gain acceptance, and he knew he'd never persuade the pagans to end their ways and take up Christianity all in one step.
He said, if you should come across a group of people worshiping a tree, he said, rather than cut the tree down and tell them that they were ignorant and in error, said, instead, consecrate it to Christ and tell them to keep meeting as they were accustomed to meeting at the same spot.
But old ways persisted, and the church's success was mixed.
The regular folk were not really interested in Christianity. The idea that you had to wait until the next life to have a good life was not exactly a popular idea. So the Christians had to make Christianity more attractive to the Celts. And so they basically grafted on the new religion onto the practices of the old religion.
By the 8th century, the church had had enough of trying to accommodate the pagans. Pope Gregory III decided to challenge pagan beliefs head-on by turning their most important holiday, Samhain, into a day of the church. November 1st was claimed as All Saints' Day, a day to honor those Christian saints who did not already have a saints' day of their own.
All Saints' Day is also known as All Hallows' Day, the word hallow being equivalent to saint. It was the eve of All Hallows that became known as All Hallows' Evening, and through a corruption of the evening, Hallow Eve, we got the contemporary word Halloween.
The church had taken the first step in absorbing the ancient holiday of Samhain. But there were still many pagans who carried on the old beliefs and practices anyway.
People continued to dress in straw costumes or in animal skins, continued to put out offerings for the souls of the dead who were traveling at that particular time, continued to do much of what they had been accustomed to doing, but now doing it under the name of Halloween rather than under the name of Samhain.
In the 10th century, the church took its campaign one step further. It declared November 2nd to be All Souls Day, a day to remember everyone, saint or not, who died in the last year. It was a direct appropriation of Samhain. But it would take more than that to loosen the grip of age-old traditions. The practice that concerned them most was witchcraft. Witches were a long-time symbol to the church of the very worst of paganism, especially at Samhain time. The word witch comes from the Old English Wicca, or wise one, usually a woman, and witches were long seen by the church as unruly feminine powers who tapped into the darkest aspects of Halloween. In the 1400s, church zealots hunted them down. Punishments were cruel.
The presence of powerful women or sorcerers or witches would have been particularly troubling to the Christian community and particularly troubling to the clergy. There's no question they would find that more reprehensible than anything else.
And as the devil's handmaidens, witches were portrayed as gruesome, violent hags bent on evil and destruction. In 1486, Pope Innocent VIII published a book claiming a direct link between witchcraft and the devil. He then outlawed the pagan Celtic religion.
Oh, wait a minute. What happened? Oh, that's it? That's it. Okay. Thought I had a little bit more to go. Okay. Well, now we get to the second part of tonight's show. And we're going to be talking about black horror movies. Okay, so before we get started on this, a lot of these like horror movies. they got their start out in blaxploitation. And I did a show on blaxploitation a while ago. And those are films back in the early 70s, mostly black people in them. You had all kinds of black blaxploitation films. but the one, oh, we're talking about horror films tonight. So Blackula came out in 72, was the first blaxploitation horror film. And you may have heard of Blackula before, but Blackula is pretty much Black Dracula. came out in 72. Basically, the story was about there was a African prince who was bitten by Count Dracula. And he was put into a coffin. I had been in a coffin for like 200 years. He was brought to Los Angeles. And once he got here, got out of his coffin, he went ham. Started fighting all kinds of people and all that kind of stuff. Turned people into vampires and all that kind of stuff. but it was quite popular back in the day. Matter of fact, on Comet TV, they show it every now and again. And on Bounce TV this past weekend, it was on. And matter of fact, there was a sequel called Scream, Blackula Scream. But also, Blackula, you may not have known this, was named one of Variety's top 50 movies of 72. And it won Best Horror Film 72 by the Academy of Horror Films and Science Fiction Films. So there are terms, stereotypical terms, in blaxploitation horror films. First one is called the spook, which is usually comic sidekick. That's afraid of everything. Primitive. His character is from rural parts of Africa. He partakes in African rituals and is bent on killing anyone and everyone. Mystical Darkle. Mystical Darkle has some sort of magic powers that he or she uses to help or save the main character. The Voodoo Doer. This character is a hybrid between the primitive and the mystical Darkle. The heroic Death Wisher. This character is usually a minor character that heroically dies to save the main character, the Ghetto Dweller. The Ghetto Dweller is similar to the modern-day spook. He tries to act cool and intimidating throughout the film, only to cower in fear when things get too scary. The Seductress tries to seduce the main character in an effort to distract him. Usually the seductress does not have sex with the main character. She is just there to tease him. The authority figure. This character is placed in the film to promote positive stereotypes of African Americans. They tend not to have that much effect on the actions of the main character and are not that important in the overall storyline. The Brute. The Brute rarely speaks, but he tends to be very sexual, especially with white women. The Voice of Reason. This character is older than all the rest. Therefore, he has more wisdom and should be listened to. He knows what is going to happen if the main characters do not heed his advice. The Sidekick. This character is just along for the ride. He or she does not have any real defining characteristic. They usually merely stick around with the main character and wait for their time to die. That's pretty banged up, to put it like that. The rapper. This is a newer character that came about when blaxploitation horror films shifted to a more urban audience. His lifespan tends to be based upon his popularity and fan base. His character tends to be similar to his rapper persona. And the last one is the star. The star is the main character of the film and tends to live throughout the film. All the other characters listed, I talked about a second ago, help this character achieve safety and play a role in guiding them throughout the movie. So those are some of the terms, some of the black horror movies. So here's a few of them. Let me back up. Let's see. Here are a few movies. I've got clips of a few of these movies. I don't have clips of all of them, but I've got clips of some of them. Just talked about Blackula. And these are what considered to be the top blaxploitation horror films. Ganja and Hess, I hadn't seen this before. This is about archaeologist stabbed with a cursed dagger and becomes a vampire. Talked about Scream Blackula, Scream a second ago. Excuse me. That's the sequel to Blackula. Abby. That's it's a parody of The Exorcist. A minister's wife is possessed by a sex demon, and there was some controversy about this movie. I think a lot of people said it was too much like the Exorcist movie. Sugar Hill came out in 1974. This movie is a zombie movie. Matter of fact, this came on Bounce TV and Comet not too long ago. Dr. Black and Mr. White. Dr. Black creates a cream that changes his skin tone and his personality. And there's also Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Black or something like that. On that. JD's Revenge came out in 1976. About a dead gangster takes over the body of a young law student in order to reveal who murdered him. Black Devil Doll from Hell came out in 1984. That's about a doll from hell. Tales from the Hood came out in 1995. And these were stories about Twilight Zone movie. They had a bunch of stories. I hadn't seen it. I don't do horror flicks, so I hadn't seen it. Bones came out in 2001. And Snoop Dogg's Hood of Horror. And Snoop Dogg was in that. So, they've got some people that you may have heard of that have starred in some of these movies. See, Tony Todd, he was in Candyman, LL Cool J was in a few of these movies. Wes Craven was a director. He directed some of them. Ken Forey, I think that's how you say his last name. He was in Dawn of the Dead. Dwayne Jones, he was the brother in Night of the Living Dead. Pam Grier was in a few. She was in Blackula and Scream, Blackula, Scream. William Marshall was in Blackula. And Abby, what else? Charles S. Dutton He's on this list because he's most notable for being the black man that dies in every horror movie he's been in. Kind of messed up. What else? Ernie Hudson. He was known for being the token black guy in some of these movies. They don't make a lot of them like they used to, but you know, they still make them. I don't do horror flicks like I used to. When I was younger, I would watch them, but now, I think now it's just more blood and guts. I'd rather just have something like, like a mystery or something like that. But you know, young people seem to like those kind of things, so that's what the audience is about. So I want to play these clips. I don't think we're going to do a full 2 hours because a lot of people are probably out trick-or-treating with their kids or whatever. So, but, you know, just because it's a holiday doesn't mean that the show wasn't going to go on. So let me play. Let me find it. Okay, this clip. This one, I got two funny clips, and then the rest of the clips are trailers of some movies that I talked about. Listen to this.
Even my business, the movie business, like it's certain movie roles, black people, we just don't get a lot of. Like I noticed since the late 90s, horror movies made a hell of a comeback. White people, y'all get all the horror flicks. Y'all get the Chucky and I Know About Last Week and all that shit. I used to get mad and say, how come you don't see black people in horror movies? Then I put it together. You can't make horror movies with us. Because it ain't going to be a movie. It's going to be a fucking commercial. Black people, y'all know we don't fuck around. We can be having a party in the woods jamming. I don't give a fuck how loud the music is, how much fun we having. If we hear some shit that don't sound right, it'll cut through all that shit. We be out there dancing like, woo, this shit is hot. What the fuck was that? I don't know, nigga, but we got to pack it up and roll. This shit don't feel. White people, y'all could be out there dancing. Y'all dance like two-year-old black babies. Y'all hear some shit? What was that? I don't know. Let's go check it out. And why do white women fall when y'all run? What's that shit about? Every time, oh, my God. Black women hear something. She take off the pumps and put on Air Jordans. She might start out running, but that bitch is going to turn into NASCAR like, ugh. White guys are faithful. Your ladies fall. Y'all go back. Black women, we love you, but if you fall, fuck it. We might try and come back to you like, oh my God, bitch, come on. That bitch gone, dog. God damn, that was some good pussy, too. Ladies, work on your timing. That's all I'm saying. You know, a real black woman be waiting for you at the car filing her fingernails. Nigga, where was you? You said come on, so I come on.
Well, that's scary, man. But the scariest thing about it, I'm going to tell you the scariest thing about it, is that Americans spend $1 billion a year on horror movies alone. As if the world ain't scary enough. We gotta invent shit. We come up with all kinds of things in America.
Hellraiser, Night of the Living Dead, Child's Play, Chucky,
a little damn doll, Chucky.
Chucky's back.
Movie did so good they made three of them. Now, let me tell you, they stopped making the movie if Chucky was black.
Oh,
wouldn't want to go see that damn movie, would we?
Chucky's back, but he's black.
Wouldn't even call it Child's Play.
Call it Chucky's in the House. To the tick-tock, you don't stop. I want to stab you up. Stab your ass with a knife this long. Kill your ass while I sing this song. I want to stab you up all night. Chucky, have
have a Bieber and a Uzi. That scared the hell out of him. That'd be on Betamax in a week. And I don't understand why we even go back to some of these movies. Friday the 13th. Why the hell are you going to go back to that movie? Jason ain't going to die. Jason doesn't die. Let's get it in our mind. Why they keep going back to this camp? If Jason stabbed 13 teenagers' ass off last summer, why the hell are you going to go back? Hoping for a better summer? They get to the camp, they're roasting hot dogs, they can't even get a hint. That's all you got to hear. That doesn't mean let's roast another hot dog. That means we got about 5 seconds before a homeboy with a hockey mask stabs your ass off. Oh, but they're still there.
Brandon, I hear something.
Look, Emily, you don't hear anything. Why don't you just chill?
Notice I said Emily, not LaShawn. Because all LaShawn would have had here was...
Oh, shit, something ain't right.
Where's LaShawn going? Let LaShawn worry about LaShawn. I ain't going to get nothing tonight but a feeding ticket. Believe that shit. Jason won't catch me. He better be in a goddamn vet. The thing that kills me is that brothers last about 1.2 seconds in Friday the 13th because we got the dumbest lines in the movie.
Like, oh, look here. I'm going to go out to the car.
That's Gary, go out to the car.
And get some marshmallows. I'll be right back. Show you right. Go out to the car, right? Ain't no woman like the one I got. Don't be listening like a heavy like. Every drop of rain is keep on falling. She can make the birds sing. Harmony. Damn, that ain't in the song.
See a cat with a soda.
Yo, ain't. See ya.
So, this first trailer that I'm going to play is from the movie. Make sure I'm getting on the right spot. It's from the movie Blackula.
You shall pay, Black Prince. I curse you with my name. You shall be Blackula.
Blackula. The Black Avenger. Rising from his tomb to fill the night with horror. Blackula. Dracula's soul brother. Deadlier even than he.
You know, he is a strange dude.
You're the nut that ran in front of my cab. You're the only imbecile on this street. Boy.
Blackula.
Look at man, you're fine. I mean, he's got to be around here somewhere. I mean, now listen, you take your hands off of me. I don't know you.
He thirsts for your blood. He hungers for your soul. Warm young bodies will feed his hunger. Hot, fresh blood will quench his awful thirst.
Make it a Bloody Mary. Are you into the occult?
No!
How about the heavy stuff?
What do you think of vampires?
Vampires? I think they're possibly the most fascinating of all.
More horrifying than Dracula. The Black Avenger. Blackula. From American International Pictures.
Now that was an actual trailer back in the day. You want to check out some of these trailers? Just go to YouTube. Actually, some of them are pretty funny. Now this next one, this is from I didn't mention this one in that list, but this one is a trailer from the movie Blade. Now, Blade is about a black vampire. The difference to him is that most of the vampires in these movies only come out at night. Well, Blade is special. He can come out at night and the daytime. He kills vampires. He's a vampire killer. Blade is an actual comic book character from Marvel. And this is the first, this is Marvel's first rated R comic book movie. And a lot of people seem to think that if this movie hadn't been as successful as it was, then we may not have all these comic book movies that we have coming out today. Matter of fact, we've got one coming out Friday, on Thursday night into Friday. So this black comic book character is important because a lot of people seem to think that if it didn't, wasn't as popular, made as much money as it did, you know, there's a possibility that we may not have Iron Man or Spider-Man or Thor in the movies. Matter of fact, Blade had two other sequels, so there's like three Blade movies. The first one is pretty good. The second one is good. The third one, not so much. But he is a black vampire killer. So this is, okay, make sure I got the right thing. So this is the trailer for the movie Blade, the vampire hunter, or, you know, whatever you want to call him.
You shall pay, Black Prince. I press you with my...
Uh-oh, wait a minute. Oh, sorry, hit the wrong button.
You better wake up. The world you live in is just a sugar-coated topper. There is another world beneath it. The real world.
For thousands of years, they have existed among us.
You keep your eyes open.
They're everywhere. Chances are you've seen them yourself and didn't know it.
A secret nation.
Our livelihood depends on our ability to blend in.
With a lust for power.
We should be ruling the humans. These people are our food.
They've got their claws into everything. Politics, finance, real estate.
There's a war going on out there.
He makes the weapons.
I use them.
Now, one will lead them to conquer mankind.
Tonight, the age of man comes to an end.
We're going to be gods.
And one will try to stop him dead.
There are worse things out tonight than vampires.
Like what?
Like me.
Half human.
Blade's mother was attacked by a vampire while she was pregnant.
Half immortal.
You got the best of both worlds. All our strengths. None of our weaknesses.
He is their greatest fear and our only hope.
It's open season on all vampires.
Wesley Snipes, Stephen Dorff.
You're one of them, aren't you?
No, I'm something else.
Okay, that was a trailer for Blade, which was a pretty good movie. Number six, this is the trailer for the movie Sugar Hill. And this is the zombie slash voodoo horror flick, which is not that bad. There are a few parts, you know, some people may consider corny, but it's not bad. It's pretty pretty interesting. Oh, wait a minute, hold up, before I play it, we got a phone call. My throat's not killing me, but it's getting on my nerves. Hey, what's up, Brother Miko? What's going on?
What's going on with you, man? You're like under the weather a little bit.
You ain't not. Well, I'm trying to get over this cold I have for about a month. You ain't out trick-or-treating tonight?
No, man. I done sold all the candy I'm going to sell from my store, so I'm done. I got the treat. I got the money. They can have the trick.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I was thinking everybody was out trick-or-treating. I was talking about, you know, some black horror movies and just had a clip about Halloween and stuff. And I figured tonight wasn't going to be a whole 2 hours because I thought about it, then I forgot. And, you know, a lot of people probably wouldn't be listening tonight because they're probably out with the kids trick-or-treating, all that kind of stuff. So I probably won't go a whole 2 hours, but I just, you know, talk a little bit about this pagan ritual called Halloween, and you know, talk about some black horror, some of these black exploitation, black horror films. You know, just I guess tonight, you know, didn't want to get too serious tonight. You know, kind of had a little bit of fun tonight with the Halloween mess going on. But you know, tomorrow,
okay,
if you want this candy, you can get it at 70% off tomorrow. I might even hang out.
All right, bro. Go ahead. I'll just sit back and listen.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Okay. All right.
I appreciate it. I had to just get a little drink there. But like I said, just make sure I got the right clip up. This next clip is from a movie called Sugar Hill. And this was a voodoo zombie flick. Like I said, it's not bad. A lot of these movies you can find on YouTube. Matter of fact, there are some blaxploitation groups on Facebook that are pretty interesting. And a lot of these clubs or groups, they will give you a whole lot of information about a lot of these movies, you know. And when you look at, I mean, the movies that we have today, you know, we have all this technology and computers and stuff. They didn't have that technology for a lot of these movies. So you look at these movies compared to the ones we have today, you know, a lot of these movies are pretty cheesy. But they're not half bad. You know, you just have to suspend your you know, pretend that you're not living in the 2000s and remember that these movies were made back in 71, 72, you know, that type of deal. Excuse me. So this next clip is from the movie Sugar Hill.
Blood is red. Voodoo is blue. Sugar is sweet. Revenge is sweeter.
I'm passing sentence.
Meet Sugar Hill.
No, please.
Not a place. But a brand new face.
My friends call me Sugar.
The foxiest.
Looking for anything special?
Sexiest. Deadliest chicken town. The mob took Sugar's man away. And now, she's gonna make them pay.
I want them dead.
With a voodoo priestess called Mama Matrace.
I know what you can do. The power you possess.
How strong is your hate?
And Baron Samdi, too.
My particular special
a drink that I'm famous for. The zombie.
This is my domain, a kingdom of the dead.
And an army of undead behind her.
Each death has had something to do with voodoo ritual.
There's nothing that sugar can't do.
Use it.
The mob has never seen anything like Sugar Hill and her zombie hitmen.
And interesting fact about that movie, the old voodoo priestess was George Jefferson's mother on the Jeffersons. She died, I don't know, I can't remember what she died in, but she was in this movie too. But it's a zombie movie. I'm if you're into zombies. And I did mention earlier about Night of the Living Dead, which had the brother was the main, one of the main characters. He ended up getting killed at the end. You know, he didn't get killed at the beginning, he got killed at the end. And I forgot about this movie too. The last clip is it's from a movie called The Thing with Two Heads, and it's not really a horror movie. It's kind of like a sci-fi comedy, I guess. And what it's basically about, they had a white racist guy was dying of cancer or something like that, and he wanted his head to be grafted onto the body of somebody else. So what they did was they grafted his head onto a black guy that was about to die in the electric chair. So when you look at the trailer for this thing, the trailer is a hot mess. But when you look at when you see the movie, I mean, it is crazy. It is crazy. You got the big brother, and then you next to his head, he's got a older white guy's head on his shoulder. And every time I see this thing, it's like, how, you know, they had to have been uncomfortable filming this thing, because I'm quite sure that, you know, they had to build all the the suits and all that kind of stuff, and he probably had to, you know, ride this guy's back. No one ever doing it, because, you know, like I said, thing has got two heads, got a white head and a black head on the black guy's body. So this is the trailer. This is the last trailer. This is a thing with two heads. Like I said, you can find these trailers on YouTube. And this one's funny. It's more funny than scary.
It seemed like a good idea at the time. The white bigot was dying, and the black soul brother needed time to prove his innocence.
More power to you, brother.
I want to transplant my head on a healthy body.
I think I'd like to donate my body to science after all.
So they transplanted the white head onto the black body. Who would have suspected that neither would care for the idea too much?
What are you guys doing to me?
Shut up.
Where's the rest of you?
We are joined together temporarily.
Williams, stop this car immediately.
Why don't you shut up?
Hey, that's telling him, man.
I should have known your kind stick together.
Will you please stop this infernal machine?
Oh, just shut up.
Help!
Shut up.
You, Doctor?
So far, so good.
Then how about you take an old happy face off of here?
Are you shooting at us?
Man, this car's a real dud.
Could I have a cigarette?
Oh, sure, honey.
Hey, man, are we smoking while I'm eating?
Oh my God.
out the window and see if any more is coming.
Ray Milland and Rosie Greer as The Thing with Two Heads.
You get some sleep, baby.
Why don't you stay here for a little while?
It's no use, honey. Maybe when I get used to it.
Now you know you got to go.
So that was a trailer for The Thing with Two Heads. So, that's the last trailer. And I am probably going to wrap this up right about now because everybody's out trick-or-treating, which is all good. But, you know, since it's holiday or whatever you want to call it, just wanted to throw that out there for you. Like I said, a lot of these movies you can find on YouTube, trailers you can find on YouTube, you can look them up, all that good stuff. So I guess what I'll say is don't eat too much. You know, go to Walmart tomorrow and buy this stuff. It's 75-80% off, and be safe. And I will see you next week. Peace out.